In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In 1931, English poet Eleanor Fargeon wrote the words to what is described as a Christian children's hymn. The words are set to a traditional Gaelic tune, Bunnison, and it was included in the second edition of Songs of Praise, an English hymnal. I think this hymn was relatively obscure until 1971, when an English pop musician and folk singer named Cat Stevens recorded what became an internationally acclaimed popular song. It's hymn 8 in your hymnal. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning. Praise for them springing fresh from the word. I was going to sing it, but I thought a Johnny Cash rendition might not go well here at St. Paul's. Praise for them springing fresh from the word. The word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. The word. The word. The word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. The word. Our gospel this morning tells us that the eternal Word of God has become a human person. In his book on the Gospel of John, former Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple says, "The Word is the Word of God by which the heavens were made and which is called for from the prophets. It's also the rational principle which has given unity and significance to the existence of all things. This word exists as it always did, in the beginning, at the root of the universe." Genesis put it this way, God said, "Let there be light." God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the water and let it separate the waters." God said, "Let the dry land appear." The word, God said, all came to be. God said it. It happened. And John now tells us that the word, that which conceives and creates, the creative force, the word, became flesh and lived among us full of grace and truth. The word became flesh. We have a word for that, the church. It's called incarnation, the infleshing of God. The word became flesh, and John goes on to say, "What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." A light in the world, this word. Have we seen this light? Have we seen the one who has come, the incarnate God? Of the incarnation, Frederick Buechner says, Moses at the burning bush was told to take off his shoes because the ground on which he stood was holy ground. Incarnation, he says, means that all ground is holy ground because God not only made it, but walked on it. And the Word, God, the light of all people, came among us, full of grace and truth, the eternal Word of God, creator of all that is, as our Book of Common Prayer so eloquently states in Eucharistic Prayer C, the creator of the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. That God created, that Word created that fragile earth. Then God brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. That God, that Word, that light became flesh and lived among us. Have you seen the one who has come? How might one see the Word made flesh? Where would you start to look if you were going to look this morning for the Word made flesh? Well, just try turning your head and looking around. I say, if you want to find the Word made flesh, you better start where you are. Start looking. This is referred to, some people, as a community of faith. It's a community. We are in communion one with another. So might we find that Word, that light, made flesh in here? Perhaps in our worship we will find this. Earlier today in our Rite One liturgy, we prayed, may we be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction and made one body with him that he may dwell in us and we in him. And we later prayed in the prayer of humble access that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. You mean the Word could be in us? That life that was the light of all is in you and me. How might we see Jesus? How do we look for him? Where might we find him? We might find him here. But also, remember, we're talking about God. God's even bigger than St. Paul's. Just saying. I know that's news, but lighten up, people. We might have to look outside the walls to continue looking for that Word made flesh. So we would look at how the person of Jesus lived his life, how he spent his time. And we would discover very quickly that Jesus seemed to be partial to certain groups of people, among whom would be the poor, among whom would be those who would be found on the margins. Remember, as you read about Jesus, you always seem to find him where there is sickness and pain and fear, where those things reside. He seemed to find that because, for some reason, he was able to free those who were captured and afflicted. Remember that this Word made flesh seemed to have particular concern for those that the mainstream, the status quo of the world, did not seem to favor. He is said to have associated with outcasts, prostitutes, tax collectors, notorious sinners. So he not only favored the sick and those in trouble, he seemed to also deal quite well with those who are mentally ill and spiritually sick as well. And then what he did, which is really kind of disconcerting when you think about it, is he looked around to those who were closest to him, and what he said is this: when you have fed and clothed and visited and cared for the least of these, when you've done that, you have done it unto me. So perhaps in addition to seeing him here in our community of faith, we might see him as we search out and find the least of these. Well, how would we do that? This might be a hard problem. But again, we might start close to home, right here in Winston-Salem. I suppose there are poor among us in Winston-Salem. We certainly have people right here in our own community who might be poor in spirit. We have people who suffer from depression, loneliness. We have people who are living in dread and fear. We have people who are very concerned that they are going to outlive their money and what's going to happen to them and who's going to look after them. We may know those too who are always feeling insecure about their employment because their companies keep changing hands and changing places, and it's hard to know from week to week for whom they work. They have anxiety. Well, how would we approach folk like that? We so often are timid and cautious when a friend becomes unemployed, when one of their children has run away from home, or some other misfortune has occurred. We don't know what to say, and we're afraid of saying the wrong thing, and so we don't say anything. We just avoid and look the other way. That's when we have missed our opportunity of being our part of the Word. Remember, the Word made flesh as an adult. As an adult, the Word made flesh, Jesus' most oft-repeated command to his followers, his most oft-repeated direction was, fear not. Do not be afraid. Do not be timid. So in doing your part for the Word, remember, do not be afraid. Do not be timid. Remember, the incarnation, God, that Word became flesh in the form of an infant. Helpless, weak, vulnerable. If God can be vulnerable, God who is in you, because the Word now dwells with you, will be with you in your vulnerability. God will help you reach out to that person who needs your help, who needs your presence. But don't just reach out to those you know that are in trouble. Reach out your hand into the world. Look for the Word working in the world. Become a minder of the gaps. You know that. We're in England today. We're minding gaps. There's gaps everywhere that we can tend to and mind. Lend a hand where you can. I don't know what you do, what you like to do, but you can do it. I'll bet you that. Some of you have skill, energy. You can help with a Habitat house. Some of you can spend some time at the Samaritan Inn. Some of you can drive for Meals on Wheels. Some of you can help somebody learn to read in the Augustine Project. Some of you can work at Crisis Control, and some of you may be and can be Stephen ministers. You can join the jail and prison team. I'll vouch for you. You can be a volunteer with the Kids Cafe. If you can't do any of those things for whatever the reason, you can contribute money to projects that promote dignity and growth for people. You can contribute to organizations that fight bigotry and prejudice. If none of these work for you for whatever reason, you're too old, you're too sick, you're too young, you're too afraid, you're too rooted in whatever, then I suggest you can do one thing. You can pray. That's right. You can pray. Pray for those in any need or trouble. It's about the ultimate reality. If you're wondering how to pray or who to pray for, in your book, in your leaflet today, don't you have a thing that says St. Paul's this week? And isn't there a prayer list in there? Well, take the list home. Pray for those people. And if that's too short for you, look on the front page of your paper and pray like you've never prayed before. There's plenty of opportunity and plenty of material. The incarnation, the Word made flesh, is about ultimate reality. Its message may well be for us too, as it was in those days. The message is actually get real. Get real with one another and our world. Today we have a gospel that tells us this is what it's like when God gets real with us in a way that we can understand and appreciate. Our history as God's people tells us that God again and again cared for us, created us, intervened for us, even sent prophets to tell us where and how we were falling short. Yet our history also tells us that we have again and again turned away from God. In her book, The Irrational Season, which is about the church's liturgical year, Madeline Lingle names her second chapter, the one on the Nativity. She names it, "Sometimes I forget to tell you how much I love you." The incarnation, the Word made flesh, is as if God, having tried everything else, decides the ultimate in getting real. Just in case you don't know how much I love you, I will become one of you. And so it is, in terms that we can at least start to understand, that if you want to know what God is like, then look at God as a human person. Look at Jesus. The Word, Jesus, became flesh, lived with us, full of grace and truth. To all who received Him, believed in His name, He gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. For you see, the Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. And from His fullness we have received grace upon grace. What has come into being in Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Athanasius said, "He became what we are that we might become like He is." For all who received Him, who believed in His name, He became power to become children of God. There you have it, children of God. That's what you are. That's what you are. Fresh from the Word, children of God. Morning is broken, like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning. Praise for them springing fresh from the Word. Amen.